It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTia along with Charlie Long at 545. Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Want to tell everybody at 9 o'clock tonight, it'll be the pregame show between the Pelicans and the Clippers. Gus Kattengill will handle that. And at 9:30, you can listen to Todd Graffinini make the call of the Pelicans-Clippers. We've had some people ask about it, and so let you know that WWL is your home for LSU baseball. Next up for the Tigers, a three-game series against the Sooners in OU. First game is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Pre-game right here on the Big 870 starts at 5:30. So, hey, keep your dial tuned into where you can find all LSU sports right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Mike in Slidell. Mike in the huddle with Mike and Charlie. Yes, sir.
First off, I'd like to tell you it's an honor and a privilege to get to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Second off, I think we got a mutual family friend, my dad's offshore buddy named John Chasson. I don't know if you know him. I think you do.
I think I certainly do. Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, I called because Mickey hasn't really hit a draft out of the ballpark lately, and I really wish I can get a part of the staff and, you know, watch and tell them who to draft. But what is it going to take for him to maybe move up in the draft and grab one of these linebackers? And, I mean, he's got the blueprint. All he's got to do is look at the 89 to, you know, 92 Saints, and he's got the blueprint of how to play with linebackers. I mean, you get somebody to go with DeMario Davis and Pete Werner, and, I mean, you might just have something, you know, that's dangerous to other teams.
Mike, this is my thought. I had not heard this since Jim Finks was the GM of the Saints. So we're talking about 80s, early 90s now. I heard Kellen Moore say something I've been preaching for a long time. Pick the guy that's going to make the quickest impact on your football team. This developmental stuff, well, we're going to take a look at the draft in 2028. Man, listen, you plan to win today. If you're going to pick a developmental guy, pick him later in the draft. You don't pick him in the first three rounds. You pick a guy that can help you today. And Peyton Turner, great example. Well, you can't grade him off of year one. Got to give him a couple years. Well, come on. You picked him in the first round. You're not picking a developmental player here. You're picking somebody in the first couple rounds that can help you the most today. I heard Kellen Moore say it yesterday. Man, I've been waiting to hear a Saints head coach say that. Dennis Allen didn't. Sean Payton didn't, to be honest with you. Mike Ditka didn't. He go in with a handful of notes of guys he wanted. He totally disregarded the scouting department. Man, Mike was going to pick who he wanted to pick, and it didn't matter what the scouting department said. And Jim Haslett and Randy Mueller worked together, but I want somebody that can help me the most today because I got to win now. These coaches today, they're not handed the keys to the Mercedes. It's always a broke-down vehicle when you are a head coach today and you get that job. It's rare that you get the brand-new car. So I do think, you know, Mickey Loomis relies a lot on Jeff Ireland. I don't think there's any question about it. But you got to go back to first things first. When you pick early in the draft and you spend a lot of time and money and effort piecing this together, pick me a guy that can help me today. And on this team, that's not a position you can't put a check mark by and say he could help you, that he couldn't help you at.
To be fair to the Saints, Talia Sefuaga was that guy last year. You plugged and played him at left tackle, and you saw good results right off the bat.
Very good.
And if you're talking about the good young players on this team that Bobby said that we're missing, Talia Sefuaga is fantastic. And so you hit a home run on that pick last year, but you need to do it again because this roster is devoid of a lot of young talent. So as to your point, Michael, about trading up, I don't want to do it.
They've done there more than they've traded back.
Correct.
Because it's been rare they've traded back.
And we've had people that have texted in saying that we should trade back. I don't necessarily disagree. It also depends on how the board falls, to be fair.
What you going to give me?
At the same time, I won't really believe it until I see it with Mickey Loomis.
I agree.
Like, he just doesn't do it. And we were saying maybe to trade back last year. I remember us having that discussion. That didn't happen. They ended up staying and picking Talia Sefuaga, which obviously worked out for him. For the Saints trading up this year, I think I would only really do it if one of those top blue chip prospects fell out of the top three or four picks. And I'm not sure if it would. With me, Mike, the most obvious trade partner near the top of the draft would be potentially New England. But if you're the Patriots and Abdul Carter falls into your lap with the fourth overall selection, you're running it up to the board. You're not trading that pick away. Now, for the Saints, trading up to get someone like Carter would be fantastic. I just don't see it happening, right? For two reasons. It would cost too much to move up into that top five. You'd have to be giving up, you know, future assets that you don't want to give up. And at the same time, do any of those teams want to trade back? I don't know. It takes two to tango, so to speak.
The other thing about it is the fact that you got to have assets to move. And normally, you know, this team has dealt away draft. You need as many draft picks as you can.
Exactly.
Today, you're trying to help Kellen Moore try to build the team. My philosophy has always been pick a guy, especially in the first three rounds, that can help you immediately. Don't give me this crapola about, oh, well, in 2 years, he's going to develop into a good player. Let somebody else develop him. I'm going to use my later round picks if I'm looking at a developmental guy. I want a guy that can help me the most today. Help me the most today. And I go back to this. Somebody brought it up and I was going to say it. Man, we doing the draft show, Buddy DiLiberto, myself, Mark Schifisi, and Jim Mora had talked about running backs. Eddie George is on the board. And he got talked into picking Alex Molden, the cornerback, by Jim Haslett. Jim wanted a cornerback and wanted help on defense. They got talked out of it. I never seen the place clear out so fast in my life.
Yeah.
It was just like about four of us. We were at High Tops at the Hilton. Man, the place cleared out within about 10 minutes. And so I understand what Jim Finks was talking about. Give me a guy that can win for us now. Because you, and especially in today's world, where Jim was talking about 80s and 90s, today, those coaches don't have a lot of time to build a team. And you get your, you get unplugged. You got to win today.
And in this draft class specifically, Mike, we've talked about it before, but you can almost throw positional value out the window, especially near the top.
Because I've long said that.
Because you're talking about, you know, Ashton Jeanty being a top 10 pick, a bona fide top 10 pick.
If he's there at 9, you don't get to 10.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. Same thing with, like, Tyler Warren, right, for the tight end for Penn State. We talked about the linebackers like Jahad Campbell and Jalen Walker that are going to be picked in the top half of the draft. Linebacker, as we mentioned, is going the way of the dinosaur, and tight ends not as valued, even though we're seeing a renaissance of young tight ends in the NFL level. Running back has been devalued recently. But in this draft class specifically, where it's not the most star-studded group with all the quarterback flash that we saw last year, just pick the best player available. You know what I mean? Like, and with the Saints, with all the holes that they have on this roster, go with your board.
You spent a lot of time and money doing it. Why are you going to just target one spot? And I think that has happened in the past. Are you looking for this RAS guy that he's got the certain size and the height and the length, and you forget to ask one question, can he play? You forget to ask that question, can he play today for me? Yeah, maybe 3 years from now or 2 years from now he can play. Man, 3 years from now, I'm coaching him for another dude.
Right.
You know, somebody else is going to be his coach then. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with a senior writer at go247.com, Glenn West, right after this break here on the Big 870. WWL.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, senior writer for Go247.com, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Been a busy last couple of days trying to track the men's basketball team and all the moves that they've been trying to make here in the portal. But happy to hop on.
Yeah, they don't give you no time off, Glenn. I'm just telling you. I told this to Coach Johnson. Listen, continue to win until at least mid-June. If you can stretch it to late June, I'm thrilled. You know why? Man, we in a dead part of the summertime. And he started laughing. He said, well, if I'm not motivated now, I'm really motivated hearing you say that. So, you know, and it just kind of comes in waves, and all this transfer portal stuff keeps us rolling. Interesting comment from Jay, even though it has not been officially announced, but he was talking about Oklahoma and how impressive a team they have, and he said they have one of the best pitchers in the country, and we heard it from Scott Sanders and from others in the right-hander Kyson Witherspoon. And he said, we'll see him Thursday night. So I think he already sort of is tipping off that that's what he expects. I don't know if it's been officially announced, but Coach Johnson's saying, you're going to see Witherspoon Thursday night.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's a really good pitcher and somebody that Oklahoma has rode with for the majority of their opening weekend starts, and he's going to be a guy that LSU's going to have to plan for, because he's been really dominant even in conference play. I mean, he's got a just under a 4.0 ERA, but if you look at kind of his stats and what he's been able to do, diving a little bit deeper, I mean, he's really had a strong start to his season. He's a righty that throws really, really hard, and is somebody that I think LSU is going to have to really plan offensively for. But look, I think at the end of the day, what LSU's offense has been able to prove so far is that no matter the pitcher that you throw against them, it's only going to be a matter of time before they're able to crack the code and be able to put up some consistency at the plate, just because of how dominant their approach has been really 1 through 9. I mean, everybody in this offense right now seems to be really hitting the ball and seeing it really well at the plate, and that's obviously a lot of confidence that you can get from that when you're going on the road against a top 10 team like Oklahoma.
We're talking about this in the first hour with Ethan Frye, and you know, designated hitter there. One thing for sure, yeah, he stays in the lineup, Jack. I mean, the way he can swing the bat. And so that's another piece of the puzzle for this LSU team that they have. But your thoughts on Ethan Frye, and you see his development as a player.
Yeah, it's just a great story. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, probably could have had any opportunity to go leave the last couple of years and play somewhere else and get a lot of playing time. He had an injury last year that really kind of subdued what was a really hot start at the plate for him. He kind of dislocated his shoulder and was never able to really kind of get get back into the swing of things last year. But he was really showing some great signs of improvement last season, and he's carried that into this year now that he's fully healthy. And you mentioned it. I mean, he's been really a mainstay in the lineup for the last really 3 or 4 weeks, and he's been somebody that, you know, is batting over 400. He can hit, you know, hit for power. He's a guy that can get on base at a very high clip, and I think he's been an all-around toolsy player for LSU at the plate that they've really counted on at that four hole spot. I mean, they really have leaned into him behind that 1-2-3 punch of Derek Curiel, Jared Jones, Daniel Dickinson, and then you've been seeing a lot of Ethan Frye in that four hole when those guys are on base driving them in. So they have a lot of confidence in Ethan. Jay's really talks highly about his character. You know, his dad was in the military and just comes from a really good family. So it's good to see, you know, a guy that is came in highly recruited, highly touted out of high school, but didn't see playing time early on in his career, just kind of stick with it, and is now kind of seeing the fruits of his labor kind of paying off now.
Glenn, going back to the Oklahoma matchup, OU on the season, they're bad. So we talked with Kendall Rogers and Joe Healy about this. They're not going to wow you with their power, but they want to create havoc on the base paths. They're hitting 298 as a team this season, which is number 10 in the SEC, tied with Ole Miss. But once you get into conference play, those nine games that they played, it dips down to 255. And that's kind of the case with almost every team, obviously, in the SEC, just because the pitching is so good. LSU's pitching staff against OU's offense this week, and I'm really interested to see how it all goes, because LSU seems like they've found some of the core pieces on the mound early on in SEC play. Obviously, Cade Anderson, their ace, and then behind him, Zach Cowan's been fantastic. And then over the weekend against Mississippi State, with Anthony Ianson a great showing, Kaysen Evans and extended relief was also excellent. So you've got those four key pieces. Chase Shores has kind of been up and down as the season has progressed a little bit. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the bullpen with that third guy. As I mentioned, you have Cowan, you have Kaysen Evans. Who do you think really is going to be the guy to step up and provide the Tigers with another weapon out of the pen?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that come to mind, and I'm glad you brought them up. But, you know, I think probably for me, one guy who was really intriguing and who didn't pitch in the midweek this weekend for, I think, a very specific reason was Jaden Newt. He's a second year, or really a third year player, but he missed his entire freshman season due to Tommy John surgery, was still kind of coming back last year and just didn't have a whole ton of reps under his belt. So he kind of got bogged down in that rotation. But he's come out this year, and you can tell he's just pitching with a lot more confidence. He's done a really nice job just kind of throwing strikes and getting guys out. He got his fastball that runs up to, 95, 96 miles an hour with some run on it as well. Jaden Newt is a guy that I think LSU fans should really pay close attention to this weekend. I think he's going to be thrown right into the fire this weekend for some big outs against Oklahoma. And you're right. I mean, after, Kaysen Evans and Zach Cowan, they really need to find another arm or two that can kind of consistently step up and kind of help LSU get these series wins in the SEC. Because as we know, I mean, the pitchers are great, but offenses have been able to kind of figure out LSU starting pitching after a couple of times through the order. And so it's important that once you get into that fifth and sixth inning, that you have more than just two guys that you can feel comfortable with going to in those final three or four innings.
Glenn, knowing Matt McMahon a little bit, and listen, nice guy, but this ain't no meet and greet. What I mean? We ain't playing cards or tipping a few. And my thing is, you got to win. I think had he been hired by somebody else, he wouldn't be there today. But there's a lot of patience there. And seeing some past success with what your athletic director has had, I get that. But your thoughts on what they brought in so far? You brought in a big man from Mississippi State, and you got in the young man from Northeastern, who's averaging 18 points a game there. But, man, it's a big jump from Northeastern, Northeastern State. And now you're playing SEC basketball. This seems to be a really tall mountain for Matt McMahon to climb, to really piece something together this year, to continue being the head coach for the Tigers in men's basketball for 2026.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you explained it really well there. They are under the gun this offseason to get this thing right. And LSU has committed more financially to them than they ever have in the basketball program to go out there and get them a roster that they feel like can compete next year in the SEC. You mentioned the three guys that they brought on board so far. It's been the center, Michael Nwoko from Mississippi State, 6'10", defensive guy, can go up and get some rebounds. And last year that was kind of the big bugaboo for LSU, is that they had some athleticism, they had some length at the forward spots, but they just were kind of smaller. They were a little lengthy. They were like Damian Collins was a guy that, teams could probably, push around a little bit on the interior. They're bringing in Nwoko to be kind of that stopper in the paint and a guy that can, affect shots at the rim. And so I think that was a good pickup, a guy who started 32 of 34 games last year for an NCAA tournament team. Really the big one that they brought in, though, was Deedon Thomas, the point guard from UNLV. LSU, I think when you're talking about a top 10 player in the transfer portal like Deedon Thomas is, is. And with some of the other schools that were after him, you know, Kentucky and Florida were a couple of the other SEC schools that really wanted Dedan Thomas. And LSU was, you know, able to commit to him financially, but also make a pitch for him to kind of come run the show. And had a chance to talk with him a little bit earlier yesterday, and he seems really excited about the move. LSU, I think, is going to give him the key to the car and let him run it. He's a guy that, you know, can, you know, really shoot it, but also distribute and get to the rim and, you know, make outlet passes to teammates and things like that, and is really under control in the half court. And that's what LSU has really kind of needed the last couple of years from the point guard position that they just haven't had. So you get those two guys, you add the young man from Northeastern today, a capable 18-point-per-game scorer in a lower conference. It'll be interesting to see how his game translates to the SEC, but he's 6'6", he's long, he's a good rebounder for his position, and so they're filling a lot of needs that they need from a profile perspective of these players. It's just, you know, how do their games translate to this level of basketball next year is going to be the real question, and there's still some moves out there to be made too. They got to go add some more shooting, they got to go add some more length and size in the front court, so they're not done yet, but they're off to at least a good start on paper.
Spring football, I'll throw you the last question out.
Sure.
Any surprises there for you individually? Because we know with this team that you're going to have to rebuild your offensive line. Bauer Sharp seems to be a guy that I think can be a playmaker for you at tight end. And I think you'll see, you know, a lot of two tight end sets for LSU. But has there been a couple guys that you, from what you've seen, say, man, that guy is a lot better than maybe I thought he would be?
Yeah, you stole my answer there. I was going to say Bauer Sharp, and he has been really consistent for LSU through the first 3 weeks. I mean, the media has gotten to see one full practice, and we've gotten one full practice at a bunch of 20-minute sessions and a couple individual periods here and there. So I don't want to go, you know, slamming the door for Bauer Sharp to go be a 1,000-yard receiver next year for LSU. But I will say that I think LSU will get much closer to what they have been in the past under Brian Kelly. His teams have always, you know, going back to Notre Dame, have always been able to run those two tight end sets. And I think with Bauer Sharp and with Tre'Davious Green and his development this offseason, they're going to get a lot of those, you know, kind of actions out on the floor, out on the field together this year with those two tight ends. And I'm really excited because Bauer Sharp's got some real physical tools there, somebody that can block on the edge, but he's got some real speed and can get downhill to, for some big gains on some passes too. So Bauer Sharp would be one for me. And then on the defensive side, I've been really impressed with Jack Pyburn, the Florida transfer.
Yep.
Coming off the edge. He's somebody that's got a lot of you know, maturity and wisdom, and is going to be able to lead that group, I think, this year, and really help kind of a front line that kind of got gashed last year at times against opposing quarterbacks and running backs on the ground. So he's going to be able to help out in that area a lot.
Glenn, man, you talked about limited practice time. Did Coach O come back into coaching at LSU? Yeah, Babe was famous for that stuff.
Yeah, look, I mean, we appreciate any time we can get out there. I'll just leave it at that because we know what it's like.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate all your insights, buddy. Thank you for your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
All righty. Glenn West, senior writer for Go247.com. We come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. Myself along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, our Bet 365 triple option feature. Myself along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. And Steve, you first went out to shoot.
All right, guys, I'm going to go with the Skeens report for the day. He was on the bump for the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Got his second start of the season. 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, and struck out 6 to get the W. And the as Pirates took down the Tampa Bay Rays 4-2. Skeens now 1-0 on the year, a 1.46 ERA with 13 strikeouts. He's now made 25 starts in the MLB, guys, and owns a 1.92 ERA with 183 strikeouts. Dude's just a stud, the only pitcher to record 175-plus strikeouts while posting a sub-2.00 ERA over the first 25 big league games that he's played in. No one else has done that in MLB history. And, oh, he's being featured in GQ magazine now, too, with his wife and his dog.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said girlfriend, yeah. I should say.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with the best player in basketball, Nikola Jokic, last night. 61 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, 18 of 29 shooting, 19 of 24 from the free throw line, and 6 of 11 from three-point range. However, the Nuggets, in that unbelievable loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves in double OT, they lose 140-139. You know, I saw a stat earlier this week, guys. Basketball Forever put this out on social media. No player in NBA history has ever been in the top 10 in points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, and steals per game in a single season. Nikola Jokic is top 3 in all of those categories. Something that nobody's ever done the top 10 of, he's in the top 3. I mean, listen, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, fantastic season. The OKC Thunder are the best team in basketball.
And he wins it.
But Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet. No and question. If Jokic was averaging 33 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists like Shai is, he wouldn't even be in the conversation. But he's having a historic season, and he deserves yet another MVP award.
We've had people call in, and because of some of the features we have, we haven't get to it, but one was asking about Cam Scadabo, the running back from Arizona State, and he's the two M's for me. Watch him play. Muscle, maul. I mean, he's a physical player, and he mauls people at the point of attack. Is he the biggest, fastest, strongest guy? Probably not. All I know is he makes plays, and he can catch the ball real well coming out of the backfield. He's a tough, tough guy, and I don't know how long his career will last because of how he plays, but he's going to beat some people up like he did at Sacramento State, like he did at Arizona State. He's going to do that in the NFL. I'm looking at him as a third-round pick, I think, just because supply and demand and devaluation of the running back position in many ways. The other, I know Nate from Past Christian wants to talk about drafting Ashton Dente, and we've had a couple of people ask, why would the Saints pick Dente? They already got Alvin Kamara. You look at his driver's license and see his age.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara's not going to play forever. Wouldn't you want that 1-2 shot? Nobody was complaining, when you had a situation at one time, Deuce McAllister and Reggie Bush together. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara together. Man, again, offensive line makes the running backs look better, but you got special guys that can make you look better. I think Ashton Dente's one of those guys. My thing is, does he get away from the Raiders? And we know Pete Carroll loves the running game, but then you heard the Raiders' new GM.
John Spytek.
And he says, my kid says, if you don't pick him, don't come back home.
That's awesome.
Okay. You remember last year they did Hard Knocks, and one of the kids for the Giants GM says, man, why don't y'all trade up for Jaden Daniels? What's wrong with you? And he sort of made a case out of
it. Trust the kid.
Listen, the kid was a lot sharper than the GM on that deal. And so now we got Spytek, who was actually a teammate of Tom Brady at Michigan, and John was, man, my kid's saying I can't come back home if we don't pick Dente. And we actually heard Kellen Moore say, if Dente's on the board, I'd have to leave the draft room board. Yeah, you can make it work with both of them. Dente's a special player. Really, really is. You watch some of those runs and you say, my goodness, how did he get away from that guy? How did he muscle away from a couple tackles? And this is explosiveness and acceleration downfield. Also, is a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. And I've been told by the coaches, they don't ask him to do it a lot, but he can pass protect. We'll be back with more on Sports Talk. Thanks for the Bet 365 triple option feature. finishing off here on our number two of Sports Talk with the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Got one of the texters that said, Mike, tell the story. 1981 draft about the Saints. They had the first pick. They could have picked Lawrence Taylor, and they picked George Rogers. That was a Bum Phillips decision. Tell you why. Bum told me the story that Wade was banging the tables, pick Lawrence Taylor. We are a 3-4 defense. Pick Lawrence Taylor. But Bum was always about running the ball. And, okay, we hadn't seen Lawrence Taylor, a guy like him. I think, you know, hindsight 2020, you know, Bum was, man, do it back all over again. Yeah, give me LT. But, man, you know, he said we needed to run the football. That was always Bum's bread and butter. He had Earl Campbell, and he thought Rodgers, not that he was Earl Campbell, but could give him that. But it was Wade trying to use his influence to try to convince his dad, pick Lawrence Taylor. I've never seen anybody like him. It didn't work out too well. And, man, Lawrence Taylor changed the world. Changed the way football is played, that's for sure. George Rogers was a good player. Lawrence Taylor was a great player in this league.
Right.
Steve, tell everybody what's going on after 6.
6 o'clock hour, we'll be talking a little Pelicans. They're playing tonight. You got the L.A. Clippers. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels podcast, will join us then. Then at 7 o'clock hour, we got Monster Jam in the Superdome on Saturday.
You going to that?
I am going with the kiddo.
Okay.
Colt Stevens, a driver, will join us talking and breaking it all down. And as we get ready for the big event Saturday night.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.